Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You can check us out on catholicspiritradio.com. We have a couple great guests with us today. We were counting it up before we started. They're deacons number 5 and 6 to the program. So we would like to welcome Deacon Al Lundy from Holy Trinity.
How are you, sir?
And Historic St. Pat's.
Yep.
I am excellent. Thank you for being here. And Deacon Gary Kerner from St. Mary's and Downs. Technically,
correct.
Right?
Yes, correct. Yes,
the sister parish to St. Pat's of Myrna, where I go, and not the stepsister either. I know that a lot of times you guys kind of feel like the stepchild out there, I'm sure. And my family and I have actually a few times recently made it out there for Mass. Once, I guess, wasn't that recent because it's mid-August, but there was snow all over the ground. And so we went out there, and I think if you counted the 7 of us that showed up, I believe you were there that day.
I believe so.
And Father Schultz, so that would have been 9, and there might have been 3 others. I mean, it was the one snowstorm of the season that we really got.
And it was a pretty heavy one.
It was pretty heavy. Yes. So we enjoy going out there as well. So again, thank you guys for being with us.
Sure.
We have a lot to discuss today. We're going to get to the gospel reading a little bit later on. And we are lucky enough that it continues to be from John chapter 6, the bread of life. And so I have a couple questions about the bread of life discourse for you guys, which I haven't told you about ahead of time. So we'll surprise you. But the reason that you're here is to talk about Curcio. Specifically, I know there's a men's Curcio coming up here in the next few weeks, right?
Early September 6th through the 9th.
Perfect. Yep. So this will be... I'm sure this will put you over the edge for being a full house for Curcio.
This will do it.
Awesome.
We're counting on it.
But then also Curcio in general. I know we've talked a little bit about Curcio on the radio program in the past, but I'm sure we have some new listeners. We continue to grow exponentially in listenership every week. So again, we appreciate all the new listeners. So how about a little back history on Curcio, where it started overall, and then how it came to the Diocese of Peoria.
Sure. Curcio started in 1944, so next year we'll be celebrating an anniversary. It started in Majorca, Spain. It was originally a program designed to develop Christian pilgrimage leaders, and it very soon morphed into a program for discipleship. Gary, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so it was really, it was a couple of airmen that witnessed this on when they were overseas, and so they really liked it, and they brought it back to the United States. And it's a short course in Christianity is what it is. And it's all about making Christian leaders.
The word Curcio itself means short course.
Oh, very descriptive if you know Spanish.
There you go. We have a lot of Spanish terms that fly around on the weekend, but we explain them all.
You know, I know one of them is de coloris, meaning many colors,
many
right?
Colors.
Mm-hmm. And so now, because I've been to Curcio, every time I see that, you see it a lot more. I'm sure I saw it before, but I didn't know what it meant and didn't pay attention. And now every time I see it, you know, out in the community or online, and sometimes I wonder, I'm sure there's people that use it that don't have a relation to Curcio, because it's not that Curcio owns the phrase, but it always triggers, of course, in my mind that, you know, my experience with Curcio. And
great.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a fun greeting, and I think it helps to represent, especially locally for us, the many colors represents the fact that we are not just a Catholic program, we're a Christian program. It has a definite Catholic flavor and a Catholic origin to it, but we do open our course up to any Christian denomination, and we've been blessed with the number of people we've had coming from so many of the different Christian denominations in town.
Which is what kind of separates our diocese apart,
yes.
By and large.
Yes, very much so.
Yes. We're very blessed that our bishop supports ecumenical, And that's just been a real blessing for our community. And we really appreciate that and enjoy sharing with all faith traditions.
Absolutely. Up into, there's typically, I believe, always a Protestant minister that participates in every short course.
Correct. We usually have several members of clergy, and we attempt to have one Protestant minister, non-Catholic minister, male or female. We all, on our women's weekends, we try to have a female minister or pastor if we can. And yeah, it's a great connection for those that are non-Roman Catholic.
And so when did it come to the Diocese of Peoria?
1964.
So not too long after 1944.
No. It came to Peoria in 1964, and the current one that we're preparing for now will be number 1159.
Wow.
So, yeah, 1,159 counting this next one that have occurred in the Diocese of Peoria.
That's fantastic.
And thousands of participants. It's really amazing how many lives the program has touched.
Yeah, probably, I mean, estimates are well over 40,000 just.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a big movement. It's a worldwide movement. Obviously, it started in Spain many, many years ago, but it is all across the world, especially the Hispanic, the Spanish-speaking areas. Obviously, that's where it grew the most early on. And so, yeah, it's pretty well known internationally.
And Curcio, the Curcio course itself runs the gamut of emotions. It's a super fun course. The amount of fellowship that comes out of it is amazing. We're kind of known for the food at ours. I started out, when I first went to Curcio, I weighed 100 pounds. And what you see here is the result of 8 Curcio courses. We have a lot of fun. We also, there's a lot of really deep sharing that can go on as well. And we do a great job of really touching the core of people's Christianity, which brings about, in some people, small changes, and some people, huge changes.
Yeah, I know that I would definitely, as somebody who's been, would encourage folks that to really discern on whether or not it's the right time for them to go. And I think that's a double-edged sword. I think a lot of times people show up thinking it was the right time when it really wasn't. And I think a lot of people show up thinking it was the wrong time and it was definitely the right time. And they get a ton out of the experience and the fellowship, and they always get stuff out of the food for sure. So
it's funny because
definitely
one of the precepts of our course is that men go through first. Husbands go through the course before the wives do. And so oftentimes it's the husbands who come with a little bit of hesitation as to, why am I here? Well, I'm here because she wants to go.
Yeah. Usually they show up with a sore elbow because their arm was twisted. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
But by the time the weekend is over, the change in attitude is really amazing.
And we get asked a lot, why does my husband have to go first? And is that absolutely mandatory? And it's for that very reason. Oftentimes, you know, us guys get a little stubborn, right?
Yeah, it's the best marketing idea ever.
It really is.
Because if she went and wasn't on his back to go, then we would never have male Curcio.
You got it. You got it, man.
So whoever came up with that idea was a marketing genius.
Because the women show up fired up.
They're
there because they want to be
sure.
there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the men come because they really do want to be there. Their friends have invited them or they've talked about it. But it is funny when you hear the after stories. And so many people say, well, I really wasn't sure I wanted to come to this. And now I'm so thrilled that I did. Because it is just, it's a great experience.
You know, and I think, so just a little bit of the nuts and bolts. So it starts on a Thursday night after work, basically.
Right.
Runs till pretty late in the day on Sunday.
Correct.
And so to your point, I mean, and not that women don't have similar or different commitments, but I think a lot of times the guys are like, oh my goodness, like, you know, I'm going to miss work, or I'm going to, you know, there's things that have to be done. You know, the yard's not going to get mowed for 5 days, or, you know, we come up with great excuses, really.
A lot of times it's the same excuses that we hear for why they don't attend church.
Absolutely.
I have to work. I have to mow the lawn. I have to watch the kids. Yeah. Got to get them to the soccer game. It's the same excuses. There just comes a point in a person's life where, as you said earlier, you really have to discern this. It takes some movement from the Holy Spirit to get to the point that you say, you know, really, I have to stop putting things before God. And that's the time to come to Curcio, when you're ready to make that change.
I think it's important too here to talk about, you know, Curcio isn't intended to be a fix-all either.
Right.
You talked about the right time to come. And every person's got to decide that for themselves, right, and follow the Spirit. But it's not necessarily a fix-all. That's not the intent of it. But certainly as you attend a weekend, I'm confident that you would have some level of spiritual growth throughout the course of the weekend. And whatever level, however it impacts you, is fine. It's not, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. Everybody comes in at a different place in their journey and from different walks of life and so on and so forth. And so everybody experiences different. And that's okay. There shouldn't be a high expectation. Certainly, we don't have an expectation. We leave it up to the Holy Spirit, because everybody does experience it. Some come off of it like a mountaintop experience, and others, it was good. I enjoyed it, but yeah. So, and either way is fine. That's okay.
Yeah, I had attended Curcio the first time. I've been twice. I joked with Al beforehand that it still hasn't sunk all the way in yet.
We'll have to have you back for four more times.
Exactly. I had gone to Curcio the first time probably about 2 years after converting to Catholicism. And so to your point, I sat for 3 or 4 days and watched other people have kind of aha mountaintops. And I was like, maybe I'm dense. I just don't see it. But in hindsight, I think looking back, that had already very recently kind of happened for me when I converted. I was like, okay, yeah, Jesus is real and I believe and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that I really took out of both times out of Curcio, because I had just joined, I was very active, in the faith through action. And I know in one of the, talks that they do at Curcio, it talks about faith as a stool, as a tripod, and action, study, and
piety,
mm-hmm. Which I kind of equate to prayer, are the three main, you know, legs to that stool. And so I left the first time in Curcio thinking, okay, you know, I kind of already really had the action. I was very active as a convert. Evangelization and apologetics comes naturally. Obviously, I like sitting behind a microphone all the time anyway. And so I was very involved in action, but I did take that study piece with me the first time that I left Curcio. And so I at least had the two legs, and I still really put off the prayer. That's still my biggest struggle probably today. You can ask Deacon Simon, my spiritual advisor. It's like, I'm sure it's like talking to a brick wall. The second time I went back, I really tried to then embrace the prayer or the piety aspect of the stool. And so I definitely agree that whether you have the mountaintop or not, there's always nuggets of faith in there that we can take with us and really benefit ourselves spiritually. Always learned more. And then also the fellowship was huge, you know, meeting other people in not only in our faith, but in the Christian community as a whole in town here. You know, I think a lot of times we kind of get in our own bubble, and it's amazing to see, you know, the breadth of Christianity outside of just, you know, maybe the parish that we go to.
Well, and it's important to realize that there's more that we have in common than we have in disparity. That we do share so much of our faith together, and that it is possible to act in community as Christians without saying, I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian, you know, I'm Baptist. We can just be Christians together and accomplish so much that way. And to your point about what the three legs and what you get out of Curcio, I guess I'd look at it as kind of a toolbox. We give everybody the same tools. They don't necessarily go out and build the same thing afterwards. They don't use the same tools, but they all leave with the same resources. And that's what we're trying to do.
And speaking of tools, Al, I think it's important to point out that, you know, oftentimes as we do get involved in our our faith journey in different faith aspects. You know, we go to that one day conference, or maybe it's a 2 day retreat or whatever it might be. You listen to a see, but then you're just kind of left on your own, right? And there's no follow up. And I think in our world today and all the hustle and bustle, and we're caught up in family life and activities, it's important that you have tools that you can apply within your everyday world and your everyday environments. And so we not only spend this time talking about Christianity and trying to help people develop their faith, but we also give them some things that they can take away and they can use in a very practical way to continue on, to continue to find the support they need, maybe the encouragement they need, maybe it's accountability, you know, to do something on a regular basis. There's no certain prescription or anything like that, but certainly it's a way to continue to support each other on this journey and to try to hold each other accountable.
Yeah, I've definitely said in the 6, 7, 8 years it's been since I went to the Curcio the first time, that the accountability through the ongoing conversations that I had with folks from Curcio was probably more valuable to me at that time than the 3 or 4 days that I spent. Again, having recently converted, a lot of the short course was recap, but not having those accountability partners in my faith life because I had just joined the church so recently, I think that is really what I took away from Curcio as a huge benefit, was just, again, meeting that, meeting those folks that would bring accountability to myself in my faith life and vice versa. So I think there are a ton of things that you can take out of Curcio.
Absolutely. I think it might be a good time to talk a little bit about the structure of this short course, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The course of the weekend. So it consists of 15 talks over the course of the 3 days. And 5 of those talks will be given by clergy. And they will typically be talking about grace and how we recognize grace in our life, how grace is there in our life, and how to become aware of it. And we talk about some of the obstacles of grace, what gets in our way, right, from experiencing that grace. So 5 of the talks are on that. The other 10 talks are actually done by lay people that have gone through Curcio, and they're invited back to give a talk, and they bring in certain aspects, the piety study and action pieces, but then they also talk about their personal journey and their personal life as it relates to those. And so they bring that very real aspect, that very practical everyday aspect into it that people can usually relate with, and throughout the course, interjected in there, we do some other things. We have mass on a couple times during the weekend. We have some prayer and meditation time throughout the weekend as well, and we eat, and we have some more prayer time, and we sing a little bit, and we eat, and so.
And there's always snacks in the break room.
And there's always snacks. Yes, yes. So that's really the makeup of the weekend. There's no question it tends to be kind of a long weekend, and generally you'll walk away somewhat tired on Sunday night. But in most cases, people are really very energized, right, and really glad they had the experience.
And if any of the listeners went through Curcio, say, 20 years ago, they remember sleeping on a floor at the old convent where it was very drafty and very uncomfortable, spending the night in sleeping bags. We don't do that anymore. Now we put them on cold linoleum floors.
Right.
And
right.
Actually, we put everybody up in a hotel at night. So this is a pretty enjoyable weekend.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
Curcios all, go, this is
since
really
I've
comfy.
Been going, it's always been at a hotel. Yeah. So.
Right.
It's a very comfy weekend from a sleeping standpoint, from a food standpoint.
And from a spiritual
standpoint. And from a spiritual standpoint. We got to take a quick break so that everyone listening can hear who our fantastic underwriters are. Aside from switching the radio station to a different program, I would encourage you to listen for the next couple moments to the underwriters for this program. And if you would, reach out to them on Facebook and thank them for being a sponsor of Catholic Spirit Radio here at Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Deacon Al and Deacon Gary are going to be back with us after our break. And we look forward to having more conversation with them.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio for a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana on Saturday, September 22nd. You will feel as though you have been transported back to the time of Christ. The Shrine's Way of the Cross includes 40 life-size bronze figures placed in gardens that look and feel like the Holy Land. The $75 trip includes bus transportation, guided shrine tour, museum church tour, gift shop, and lunch. Visit Catholic Spirit Radio for details and to register by August 31st. For questions, call Carolyn at 309-830-4164.
We are back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you're in Bloomington and it's a little fuzzy, you can always check us out on 92.5. As always, you can find us online at catholicspiritradio.com. We have Deacon Gary Kerner from St. Mary's in Downs with us, as well as Deacon Al Lundy from historic St. Pat's and Holy Trinity, talking about Curcio. We have a men's Curcio coming up here in 2 weeks. Is that right?
Three weeks.
3 weeks. Yep. This will air this coming Sunday, so by the time you hear it, then it'll be 2.5 weeks.
There you go.
Yep. So you need to get registered. It starts Thursday, September 6th.
Correct, and runs through the night.
And runs through Sunday, September 9th. So let's give a quick recap for folks that might just be tuning in right now. Curcio is a 3.5 days, kind of, give or take, Thursday evening till Sunday evening. Football has not started yet, so we're not going to miss football. It's towards the fall. We haven't had a ton of rain, even though it's raining today, so chances are your yard can go 4 days without being cut. What other excuses do we need to overcome? obstacles.
There are really none, because part of Curcio, you are sponsored. And if you don't have a sponsor, we can help you get a sponsor.
Sure.
But one of the roles of the sponsor is to help you out while you're at Curcio so that the home doesn't fall apart. So, for instance, I'm sponsoring a young man to this upcoming Curcio course. And while I'm there also on the team, my wife has been in contact with his wife. They have several children and one newborn, and has said, you know, if there's anything you need while your husband's at Curcio, let me help. I can run to the grocery store with you. I can come watch the kids if you need to go do something. So the role of sponsor for Curcio is actually a very active role in the course itself, by helping out the family of the candidates.
And I will give a shout out real quick while we're talking about it, because there is a fee associated with Curcio.
There is.
Nominal, I would say nominal, but it might be larger for some. It's what, $100?
$110.
So we've actually had Catholic Financial Life on the radio a couple of times, which is a Catholic fraternal similar to the Knights of Columbus or the Foresters. But for all of their members, they actually reimburse every single year up to $100 for them to go to a spiritual retreat. Wonderful. Which Curcio would definitely fall into that category. So if you're a member of Catholic Financial Life, make sure you submit your reimbursement for your $100. If you're not a member and you want them to pay for your Curcio trip, you can reach out to me. I have the information at my email address, jbramley@mbi.agency, or find them online at catholicfinanciallife.org. So a great way to get your Curcio reimbursed.
Right. Oh, that's fabulous.
But for those folks that maybe $100 is an obstacle for them, we don't want to have any obstacles. I know when I went through, there was a scholarship that was available. I'm sure that that's still available. If not, I would definitely support anybody that thought that was an obstacle, because it's a fantastically wonderful weekend, I think, for most people to go.
Exactly. People just need to let us know.
Yeah.
If
open dialogue is always the...
Right. Exactly. Visit with your sponsor about that, and we can talk about that. We don't want money to be the issue to keep people from coming.
Absolutely.
Certainly. And if you think about the cost, $110, I guess I would challenge anybody to try to go somewhere, stay in a hotel for
four nights,
3 days, and eat all weekend for $110.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely, you guys are definitely overcoming the cost and providing far more value. on a back to the nuts and bolts. So if somebody's listening right now, how do they get more information to get signed up for this men's Curcio, and or there will be a women's Curcio in November. So it'll be the second weekend yeah. in November. Mm-hmm. So how do people get the information to actually show up so that they can be blessed like the rest of us?
Well, we have a website, bncursio.org.
Okay. Let's spell Curcio for them.
C-U-R-S-I-L-L-O.
Okay.
Curcio. Spanish, again, as we mentioned yes. before. So if you go to bncursio.org, you can click on information, and there will be a registration form that you can download and complete from there, as well as information as to who to send the application to. One way is to drop it off at Holy Trinity Parish Center on Main Street. We have a mailbox there for Curcio, so they can just drop it off there. Or they can call us. You can find contact information. Any of the deacons in town know about Curcio. And so if you look up any of the bulletins online for any of the churches, contact any of the deacons, and they can help you.
Perfect. And then the only thing really they need to know before coming is they don't need to bring their cell phone, right?
Correct.
That's Other correct. Than that.
They can leave their cell phone and their watches at home.
On the charger, so it's ready to go on Monday That's when they right. get back.
That's entertainment right. provided.
Free entertainment.
Free entertainment is provided throughout the weekend.
Let me just make a comment about that, if I could, Jason. So, because that's something nowadays that people are concerned about, right?
Addicted to.
yes. I got to give up my phone. I got to give up my contact for the weekend. And I just want to assure people that we do still have, in fact, I'm on every weekend, Al is as well, and we have to keep our cell phones for a number of reasons. We're constantly communicating with people to make sure coordination's going on properly, that we're on schedule and so forth. But the other key thing is for emergencies. So we do have an emergency number that we would give every candidate prior to the weekend, that if they need to be contacted, they can be through that emergency number. We have our phones that we can be contacted throughout the weekend as well. So, you know, there is still that avenue for the emergency situations if people need that.
So if New England trades Tom Brady to the Bears, you guys would let them know?
Well, we might.
Or let them be surprised.
We might bait them a little bit or taunt them.
But again, that free entertainment.
That's
that
right.
Free entertainment.
That's right.
Might be more for you guys, free entertainment, than for the folks there.
So a lot of times we're, you know, baseball season's wrapping up for some of these, or, you know, the football season has started, certainly when we're in November and things. And so there's sometimes, you know, football mentioned a little update about how bad the Packers beat the Bears and, you know, things like that.
The year that I went through Curcio, the weekend I went through Curcio, is when the tsunami hit Japan, and there was that huge emergency at the nuclear power station. And so that was all over the headlines. That was all the news was talking about. And we went through that whole weekend totally oblivious to any of that. So you can imagine our surprise when we got home Sunday night to find out what we had missed. But, you know, we really didn't miss it. It didn't affect us. It didn't affect the Curcio course. You really can go a few days and put the electronics and put the outside world aside and just focus on faith for a few days. The world will not fall apart around you.
You mean people can make it without a 24-hour news cycle?
Yes, actually. Yes. Who would have thought? Or without video games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. while I have you guys here, I wanted to have a conversation. This past weekend at St. Pat Smyrna, I had Father Schultz as the celebrant, and I thought that he gave a fantastic homily. And so I just wanted to maybe get your take on it and bring it up for some folks who might not have heard it. Not to say that the other priests in town probably didn't do a great job, but I didn't hear them. And so, you know, we're well into the John chapter 6, and we're going to get to the gospel reading here in a little bit, which is still John chapter 6, but it's the bread of life discourse. And it really, you know, obviously the bread of life really is, I think, Jesus cementing, you know, before the Last Supper that, hey, this is really my body and blood. This is not symbolic. This is really what I need to communicate to you. And he doesn't say it once. He doesn't say it twice. I think it's like five or six times repeated, right? Like, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. And, you know, I think a lot of times, and to Father Schultz, credit this weekend, he brought up not only the bread of life, but kind of as a reflection to that of the current abuse scandal that we have in the church in Pennsylvania, and not even just there. I mean, obviously, we still have a lot of issues here nationally, but also internationally. But I think he really, you know, cemented the idea, at least for myself, and I think he really tried to help folks understand that we shouldn't be attending Mass because we like the guy up front talking. We shouldn't be attending Mass because we like the music. And on the flip side of that, we shouldn't not be attending Mass because we don't like the music. And I'm guilty of that. I can't handle the 11 o'clock with the drums and the guitar. That's not me, but it is some people. And I understand that. But the source, the summit, the pinnacle of our faith is the Eucharist. And it truly is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I believe, again, that Jesus is very, very clear in John's gospel and in the entirety of chapter 6 that he means what he says what he means, and that as horribly bad as some of the issues are that we have in the church today, they're not probably any better or worse than issues we've had in the church for 2,000 years. And if we allow those things to come between us and Jesus's body and blood in the Eucharist, then that's a far bigger travesty than whatever the sin was that occurred outside of our lives. That we shouldn't, you know, and again, it's difficult, but we should be focused on the body and blood of Christ through the Eucharist and know that the sins of others, whether they be up front or in the back or in the pew, inside the church, outside the church, that, you know, eventually and for always, Jesus wins this fight, and that only through the light of exposure will the church be purified, and in quoting Father Schultz from this past weekend. And so I wanted to kind of bring up his homily because I thought it was fantastic. I've seen a lot online over the weekend. I don't know if maybe the bishops had a call to the priests, like, hey, we should address this, which if they did, kudos to them. Or if the priests just kind of took it on their own to have that conversation. I definitely think it's not a conversation that we had 15 years ago or 20 years ago when this really started to happen. And so for those younger priests that are grabbing that bull by the horns today, I congratulate them, because definitely not an easy conversation. But I thought the way that he positioned it in our faith life was really impactful. So I'd throw it to you guys, kind of see what your thoughts are.
Sure. Well, you did a pretty good job of covering it there, Jason. I mean, you hit it all. I did not personally hear Father Schultz's homily this weekend, although I did hear that he was going to be talking about the subject. And I think it's important to understand or to talk about it. It's not a fun topic. It's not anything that we as Catholics should be proud of, certainly. But you know what? It is real. It happened. We can't brush it under the rug, so to speak. And so I think it's important to get it out there and talk about this very aspect of it. You know, we hear the comment a lot, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner. And that's kind of the same concept, right? We're called, the church calls sinners to come. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus Christ was all about, right?
He said, I did not come to call the righteous.
Exactly. And so we're all sinners. And so we got to be careful that, you know, as we're sitting there in the pew, who are we to judge? He also tells us we shouldn't be judging, right? And so that extends not just beyond our everyday environments and contacts and the people that sit in the pews, but it extends throughout the entire church, all the way to our priests and bishops and so forth. And so while it's tragic what happened, it's important to understand that, you know what, as a Catholic, it's okay to be angry about that. Sure, I'm angry about it. It's certainly sickening. And it's not it's not something to be proud of. But the point is, you hit on it well, and obviously Father Schultz did too, is we just need to recognize that, but we need to keep the focus, right? So we have to keep the focus on Jesus Christ, the focus on why we're there. And going to church every Sunday is, yeah, you go to be fed somewhat. We get, you know, that's kind of a benefit of it, if you will. But really the main reason we're there is to give glory and worship to our God. And we do that by attending, by getting into the Mass and experiencing, as you said, the bread of life, right? The Eucharist. That's what will sustain us. That's what has sustained the church for all these many, many of hundreds of years. And you want to speak about corruption. My goodness, go back in our church history, and there has been corruption. And I would add that anytime a human being is involved in anything, there's going to be that certainly that possibility that corruption can enter in. Because make no mistake, the evil one is very much working in our world today. And we just have to separate ourselves from that and continue to focus on the bread of life and what Jesus Christ told us in his time on earth and what he handed on in scripture and in sacred tradition. And I think if we maintain that focus and understand that's what we're really all about, that's what we got to keep in the spotlight, so to speak, I think it can help us bridge this difficult time and move on. I liken it to, you know, you have priests coming in and out of your parish, you know, like it's not uncommon every 2 years, they kind of upset the apple cart in the diocese, right? And people move on, priests are reassigned and so forth. And, you know, oftentimes parishioners will be upset about that or concerned and, yeah, I really liked him and so on and so forth. And again, you know, I get these conversations. It's not about the priest. We have to focus on, again, why are we there? Why are we there? And if we can maintain the attitude and the focus and the positive view that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he gave us the great gift of the church, and he gave us his body and blood for our salvation.
Yeah, and it's, and to your point, and it's definitely not a defense for the indefensible. But I somebody had made the point or the comment to me a while back that, you know, if that Satan and his minions, demons, they sit on the walls of the seminaries and they sit on the walls of the convents and they sit on the walls outside of your church. They don't sit on the walls of the casinos or the strip clubs, or they already have those people.
Right.
And so if we as Christians don't feel constantly attacked by Satan, we're probably doing the wrong thing.
Right.
Because it's through our faith that brings more assaults by the evil one. And again, that's not a defense to priests or anyone else who succumbed to those sins. But just to say that, to your point about the church and her long history of issues, you know, that we're bringing those issues to our doorstep by our faith. And now we're called then to overcome them and not succumb to them. You know, obviously through the tripod of faith that we talked about, prayer and action and study. And when we stop doing those three things, then it becomes much easier to succumb to those sins.
And that's a great point, Jason. We talk about this in formation, deconformation a little bit, is that, you know, there's this kind of this, I guess, feeling out there or thought that, well, you're becoming clergy, whether it's a priest or a deacon, you know, we're ordained. And once you're ordained, you know, you're all holy and now you've got this special aura, right, that you're protected from. And it's just the opposite, really, because once you're ordained, Satan doesn't want us to be ordained. And so he is constantly knocking on our door or pounding on our door. He's always after clergy, because what do we do? If we're doing what we should be doing, we're out there
Representing the church.
Representing the church and Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
If something positive could come out of this, and I think there is something, that's the high profile of the Catholic Church has now been able to be used to shine a spotlight on a truly horrendous crime, and one that is not a Catholic problem. It is a societal problem.
Absolutely.
And I think if people would delve past this Pennsylvania report that just came out and looked at this issue as a whole, they would see the enormity of it. I was involved in the Boy Scouts for 50 years, and for the last 20, I was teaching youth protection because of the same problem that we're seeing, that we saw in the Catholic Church, we saw in scouting at about the same time. And scouting took a lot of huge steps to head off this issue. And the Catholic Church has as well, and I don't think enough people give the church credit for that. It started about 20 years ago as they started to form the Dallas Accords, which has made some huge changes, put up a lot of a defense for children in the church, created new reporting avenues, things of that sort. And it's been very effective. You look at the Pennsylvania report at these 1,000 incidences over a 70-year period, which if you look at the entire problem of sexual assault among children, that's such a small amount. And in the last 2 years, I think what a lot of people fail to look at is that in the last 2 years, the state of Pennsylvania has had one incident involving a priest as far as child sexual assault. So they talk about the thousands, but they forget in the last 2 years in the entire state, there's been one reported incident. So the changes the church has made over the last 20 years, these programs it's instituting, is working. So a lot of what we're seeing are past issues that have come to light, partially because of the way they were handled by a few bishops. So I think maybe the good thing is that through the high visibility of the church, we are now shining a light on this really tragic, horrific crime. And perhaps we can get more organizations and more people to get involved to start protecting our children more.
Amen. Well, God does everything for a reason. And so hopefully, not hopefully, but surely there is some benefit to the trials that the church is called to go through. So you're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We're going to take another break. Again, please listen to our underwriters over the next few moments and like them on Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media they may be on to really show your support for this programming.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio for a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana on Saturday, September 22nd. You will feel as though you have been transported back to the time of Christ. The Shrine's Way of the Cross includes 40 life-size bronze figures placed in gardens that look and feel like the Holy Land. The $75 trip includes bus transportation, guided shrine tour, museum, church tour, gift shop, and lunch. Visit Catholic Spirit Radio for details and to register by August 31st. For questions, call Carolyn at 309-830-4164.
We are back, Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. This is Jason Bramley. We have had and continue to have some great guests with us today, Deacon Gary Kerner from St. Mary's and Deacon Al Lundy from Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's. Are with us. We had a great conversation in the first little bit of our program about Curcio, which is coming up for the men September 6th through the 10th. So if you would be interested in going, please prayerfully consider it. If you're not interested in going, please prayerfully consider it. And you can check them out on the bncurcio.org. Curcio is spelled similar to that of quesadilla with the two silent L's. John gives me a look like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. It's bncurcillo.org. So check them out. Before we get to the gospel, any other closing thoughts on Curcio?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we make this point that we've talked a lot about it being ecumenical, and we fully support that and welcome that. But it's important to understand that as an ecumenical event or community or retreat, it's not about converting, okay? It is a Catholic-based program, and we don't apologize for that, but we're not there to convert people. That is not at all what the program's about. It's for individual spiritual growth of each and every person that attends.
Absolutely. Again, I've been twice. Al, you've been 8 times, you said. Deacon Gary, I don't think you gave away how many times you've been. Yeah.
Numerous.
And I've been twice, and there was a lot of Protestant brothers and sisters, Christian, without any type of affiliation. And I'm sure that there have been some non-Christians or, you know, some folks that just aren't sure what they are probably attended. And so you're absolutely right. We don't hide the Catholicism in the weekend, but at the same time, it's definitely not about converting. It's about, you know, building and bringing people closer to Christ. So again, bncurcio.org, September 6th through the 10th. And then the women's weekend will be November, second weekend of November, whatever that shakes out to be. I was telling these guys during the break that I had a fantastic conversation with some fellow Catholics this past week about the bread of life. You know, one of the things that really strikes me, we're going to get into the gospel here, which is still John 6. Is this the last weekend for the bread of life? This is the last weekend. Okay. Fifth of five. One of my favorites as a Protestant convert to the faith. You know, one of the things that I continue to hear because I love listening to YouTube videos about the faith and explaining the faith and everything else, is the idea that, well, Jesus was just talking symbolically. And I really struggle to question if that is intellectually honest. I mean, to me, and maybe this is my Catholic glasses and my bias, but to me, it seems so clear that he's speaking literally. And so I wonder, in having conversations with folks that say, well, you know, this or that or whatever, if they truly believe that, or if that just seems to be kind of the easiest defense. And I will say that as a former Protestant, one of the huge beauties of Catholicism, and I think one of the ways in which I think a lot of folks, when they read the New Testament, go astray, not necessarily to their fault. If you don't have a firm grasp on the Old Testament, you could read the New Testament any way you want.
Right, right.
When you have a very firm grasp on the Old Testament, the New Testament illuminates itself so beautifully, I think. And this, I think, is one of the best occasions for that. If you look at all of the foreshadowing in the Old Testament, the manna in the desert, the hyssop and the Passover lamb and everything else, I would encourage folks as they hopefully read and reflect on John chapter 6 to really go back and read some of those Old Testament accounts. And I'm sure you can find a study Bible that'll tell you specifically better than I can which ones to go back and read. But there's a huge amount of foreshadowing from the Old Testament into that of the New, specifically into the bread of life and the Passover through the Last Supper.
Right. You're absolutely right, Jason. And I think it's important to keep in mind another beautiful thing about our church is that it's not based on one person or two people kind of reading through this and making the decision, yep, that's what we believe, right? All of our teachings have come from oftentimes decades of debate, and you have to read it, everything in context. You have to understand what was going on at that given time and what is being said. And certainly the Catholic Church is wonderful and has been over all these centuries of sorting that out and discerning it, debating it for years and years and years, and they bring together the councils. And so when they set these things as doctrine or dogma in the church, it's after much, much, much scrutiny.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to kick it over to Deacon Al, and let him read the gospel for us, and then we'll get your guys' take on maybe what speaks to you the most.
Okay. So the gospel this weekend is from John. It's chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." Many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and you are convinced, we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So what sticks out to you, Deacon Gary? You want to go first, or Deacon Al?
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, I can kind of tie this back to Crecile a little bit and what Crecile's about. So in there, you know, it's I think that shows how difficult it is oftentimes for people to accept and believe in what they're hearing and in Jesus Christ. I mean, for heaven's sakes, these people, the apostles certainly, and the crowds of people during this time, you know, the feeding of the thousands and so on and so forth, they witnessed this happening, and yet they still doubted. They still doubted the divinity of Jesus Christ, right? And the fact that he was working, the Spirit was working through him, and it was the Father that sent him and was really doing these things. And even with all that, with the visible signs, they still struggled with it. And so for us today, we don't have those in-your-face kind of physical signs, right? Or visible signs. And so we need things that help us grow spiritually and awaken our awareness. And Crecile is one of those things. That's what this course is all about. It's about coming to understand better who God is and who his son Jesus Christ was and why did he come, and that he brought this grace to all of us. And he offers it to us through his Spirit every single day of our lives. But we have to be aware of it, and we have to acknowledge it. And so for me, that's one of the things that jumps out is this whole, you know, it's so hard to grasp it and to believe it. And so we have to lean on going to Mass every week, Crecile, the tech community, Teens Encounter Christ, which is very similar to Crecile, but it's for teens. All these kinds of things just help us to strengthen our faith journey and to better understand the spread of life, right?
Absolutely. Deacon Al?
So we probably should have said before I did the reading that in the lines immediately preceding this, Jesus has told everyone, "You must drink of my blood, you must eat of my flesh." And that's what people had trouble understanding. And to get to your point about the main gist of this as far as it being Protestant or being Catholic, it talks about people walking away, his disciples who had followed him for years. Many of them turned and walked away and went back to their previous way of life because they just couldn't accept who Jesus was and what he was saying. And Jesus didn't say, wait, come back. I meant symbolically. Wait, come back. I was just joking. He let them walk away. He let who knows how many people walk away from the faith and turn to those who stayed with them and said, "Are you going to leave too?" And they said, "Where else can we go to get what you give us?"
Yeah, I would like to give a shout out to St. Peter because the poor guy sticks his foot in his mouth so many times. But this is kind of one of his shining lights in the entire Bible where it's like, hey, you figured it out. Now he's going to really screw it up here soon, you know, coming up as always he does. But yes.
Right. But the realization is there. And I then going back to Crecile, I think we all know people in our lives who have walked away from Christ, who have walked away from their faith. Because they had trouble understanding what Jesus was trying to say. And I think,
or they had a priest they didn't like, or like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Right. Ran into a problem that challenged their faith, and they just didn't have the depth of belief to stay. And so they wandered off. So through Crecile, here's the chance to invite those people back. Invite them to come back, spend 3 days with us, do some great study, do some great prayer, and perhaps find their way back.
You know, and this, to your point about the folks leaving, you know, we had, some buddies and I got together this week and we were discussing this gospel or the entirety of John 6. And one of the points of the conversation that came up was that if you asked me a question and I answered it in a way that was not untruthful, but I knew would paint in your mind something other than the truth, that most people, especially my wife, would consider that a lie, right? Anytime that kind of like, did you mow the grass? Well, I mean, it's not too long. and so we had that conversation. If you looked at this symbolically, as some folks try to claim, if Jesus allowed people to misinterpret what he said and allowed them to walk away because they interpreted it in a way other than what he meant, if you're looking at it as a symbolic, then Christ was lying to them, which obviously he doesn't do.
Right.
And that was part of the conversation that we had in just in that, you know, in order to try to frame this conversation in the symbolic, you would have to say, well, then Christ lied to people who didn't take it symbolically, but didn't then turn around to your point and correct them and bring them back and say, and I know I think it was last week, Father Sterneman was with us and made the comment that just a couple chapters earlier, after meeting the woman at the well, Jesus says, you know, I'm not hungry. I've been fed. And the disciples are like, well, who fed him? Who gave him food? And he goes, no, you guys missed it. You know, I'm fed by the Spirit and through his evangelization. So therein lies a great point where when speaking symbolically about being fed spiritually, he corrects them and says, no, you missed it. And that's why I think sometimes it seems so evident to me that Jesus wasn't speaking symbolically, that he truly does call us to the body and blood, to his body and blood in the Eucharist. And reasons why I think Father Schultz's homily is so spot on that no matter what happens in our lives, to your point, in the pews, on the altar through clergy, that we have to remain focused, like Deacon Gary said earlier, on the source and summit of our faith, which is the Eucharist and truly the body and blood of Christ. So I thank you guys. Yep, go ahead.
If I could toss one more thing out there, any of our listeners to this program who are Cursiestas, who have been through the program, please invite someone.
Absolutely.
Maybe you haven't been involved in a while. That's okay. You can be involved again simply through your sponsorship. If you're looking to do Polanka, you know what that is. We're always looking for people to come help on the weekend. It takes over 150 people to put on a Cursia weekend. And so we're always looking for help from folks who have been through the course in the past. But please take a moment, do some prayerful reflection, and invite someone to Cursio.
Amen to that. Again, check them out. Be in Cursio, CURSILLO.org. As always, you've been listening and you've been great listeners. We really appreciate you. To Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We look forward to speaking with you again next week.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.